This is KUOW's The Record. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bill Radke. Here it is, Election Eve, and the polls say, well, it depends where you look. The New York Times forecast gives Clinton an 84% chance of winning. The 538 forecast blog has it closer, 68% chance for Clinton. Fox News predicts 274 Electoral College votes for Clinton. That's only four more than she needs. Here to discuss what happened over the weekend and what we might expect today and tomorrow is CNN's senior reporter for media and politics, Dylan Byers. Welcome to KUOW.
Thank you for having me.
The FBI made more headlines over the weekend. The head of the FBI, James Comey, had said they'd found new emails from Hillary Clinton. And over the weekend, he said the FBI found no problems with the emails. What effect do you think all of this has had on the election?
Well, you know, like so many stories pertaining to controversy or scandal, what you end up have happening is the initial controversy comes out and there's a huge hullabaloo and a great deal of attention to it. And in this case, it sort of sacks the momentum from Hillary Clinton's campaign and gives new oxygen to Donald Trump, especially at a point where, if you remember back when this happened in late October, up until then, Hillary Clinton was doing so well that the conversation in some quarters of the media had shifted from will she win to how much will she win by. That changed drastically after late October when Comey's first letter came out. Now, we should note that the race had already started tightening at that point and was inevitably going to tighten leading up until tomorrow.
Why is it inevitable that the race would tighten?
If you look at the sort of big moments in campaigns, there is a lot of, you get a big surge in momentum for the Republican candidate after the Republican convention and then the Democratic candidate after the Democratic convention. Going from there, you sort of, you know, depending on the news and how things go in one candidate's favor or another, you start to see radical shifts in momentum for whichever candidate happens to be faring better than the other. But if you look back at past elections, if you look at 2012, if you look at 2008, and I believe if you look at 2004 too, what you see is wherever those candidates happened to get, either in terms of favorable or unfavorable ratings, that they started to grow closer toward each other in the final days before the election. And usually what that reflects is usually people sort of coming back home, making final decisions, aligning with their party in terms of how they usually vote.
Man, makes you think that was a whole lot of energy in the campaigns that ended up snapping back to very little.
Right. But anyway, so you get now to this, what's happened over the weekend, which is all of a sudden the FBI coming forward and saying the review clears Clinton in the email inquiry. And of course, it's good news for Clinton on the whole, but it doesn't, as her own campaign would say, you can't undo the damage that had been done over the course of the 8 or 9 days during which everyone was making a big deal about it. And indeed, if you look at the New York Times after Comey's first letter, it's blanketed across three articles on the entire front page. If you look at the more recent letter, it makes up just two columns on the front page. So there's a disparity there in terms of how big of a deal we make between the controversy and the resolution to the controversy.
Well, Dylan, in one sense, the head of the FBI told Congress, we're looking into this, and then he reported back and said, we're done looking into it, no criminal charges. How could he have handled it better?
Well, by what we know, he was not trying to play politics. What he was trying to do was, in fact, show that the FBI did not play politics. He didn't want a situation where after, say, Hillary Clinton got elected, we went back and found out that he knew certain things before Election Day and he didn't tell people. Now, on the other hand, there are guidelines for whether or not, you know, what information should be revealed so close to an election day. I believe it's within 60 days, unless you have conclusive evidence about something, you shouldn't be putting out these sort of hypotheticals. The problem is that once he put out his initial letter about the investigation about Anthony Weiner's emails, he made it instantly became political, and I think we saw that in terms of how things have unfolded over the last week and a half.
Was there any way he could have handled it better?
It, you know, I mean, no, is he in a catch 22? Absolutely. And I think just as Democrats, you know, are upset with Comey for coming out with the letter when he did, I think it's also true that Republicans would have been equally upset for him if they had found out that he hadn't come out with the letter. So, look, Comey has a lot of critics. He's probably had the worst 2 weeks in Washington of anyone. But no, this was not an easy situation by any means.
Let's talk final strategy here leading up to the election. Yesterday, the New York Times said Trump's campaign had removed his access to his Twitter account. Does that matter?
It does matter. The story of Donald Trump's campaign has really been a story of, at least in the general election, has been, okay, is he going to pivot away from being this sort of off the cuff, follow his gut, say things that can get him in trouble? Is he going to stop doing that? Is he going to become a more serious, focused candidate? Really, the story of the general election is that he did not do that. At all those points when we thought he was finally going to get serious, when he was going to try and tack toward the middle and be a little bit more responsible, traditional candidate, he never did it. Now, obviously, that's part of his appeal to his supporters, but I think when the history books are written, I think a lot of people will say, given how close this race is in the final days, that had he been more focused, had he been more disciplined, he might be faring even better than he is now. So now, in the final days, they have taken away the Twitter account. He is reading more off the teleprompter at his speeches. And that's working for him. He is more focused and disciplined now than he has been at any point throughout this general election process, to his credit. And that's why you see the Twitter account taken away from him. And I have no doubt that if he had that back in his hands, he might very well do something to shoot himself in the foot.
We're talking with CNN senior reporter for media and politics, Dylan Byers. Dylan, I mentioned at the top how polls are showing Clinton ahead. I remember when Barack Obama ran, lots of people said, don't trust the polls because people will say they're for Obama to be politically correct, but they will secretly oppose him in the voting booth. Do you think we have any reason to trust or not trust these Trump-Clinton polls?
Well, I think polls are always an imperfect indicator of the final result. Now, that said, they're also, you know, all that we have to go on. Mm-hmm. And, you know as well as I do, these things have turned into a nearly two-year process, so we got to have something to go on. The best thing that you can do is look at the aggregate polling, the sort of what we had seen and called the poll of polls, to sort of find an average. And then the other thing you can look at really is where the candidates are spending money and where they're traveling to in these final days of the campaign. That tells you really what they believe the battlegrounds are, the states both that they think they can still fight for and the states that they also know that they need to defend. Now, I will say, I think the polling right now, if you take it all together, if you don't just look at one poll, but if you look at an average of polls, I think it's more or less roughly on point and gives us a pretty decent indicator of where things are going to end up. But you know as well as I do that there are always unexpected things that can happen. We've lived through 2000, lived through 2004. We know that these things don't always shake out the way that we think they will.
And what's your final bit of wisdom for us before we move on, Dylan?
Well, I would really, everyone's so eager for this election season to be over, but I would really look tomorrow night at what the indications are, not for 2016, but for 2020 and 2024. If you, we're going through a change in the political map insofar as northern states that we have traditionally associated with being Democratic strongholds like Michigan and Wisconsin, given the non-college educated white middle class vote there that has sort of found where Trump has resonated, those could increasingly turn more conservative or at least to toss-up states. Well, a lot of these states in the Southwest, Arizona, even perhaps Texas, that have a stronger Latino vote, Hispanic vote, and then also places like Georgia that have a strong African-American vote and big cities like Atlanta, those could turn blue. So we could really be seeing a realignment of the political map that that'll play out for several cycles to come.
That's how it looks from the point of view of CNN's senior reporter for media and politics. Dylan Byers, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And, of course, listen right along with us on election night here with live results on KUOW Seattle.